And welcome to Be Frank, the podcast where we dive deep into the mental health struggles of African men that are rarely spoken about. I'm your host, Frank Beecham, and I'm excited to start this journey with you.
Hello, and welcome to Be Frank. Another episode where we talk about men's mental health from the African man's perspective. Today, we are here to shine light on men's mental health and explore the powerful influence of family, especially within our African communities. Today, we are diving into the crucial roles mothers and African aunties play in nurturing the mental health of African males, understanding their unique position in shaping emotionally resilient and mentally healthy men. So, to just go into it, in the African context, the family unit is literally a very, very broad one, and it's interconnected, it's an interconnected web. If you're African, you know, like, you could meet someone who you didn't even know was your relative, but you find out through some long twists and turns are related to you in a way, in one way or the other. So, it is interconnected with mothers and aunties, and they are often at the core. And these women are more than just caregivers. They are the emotional bedrock for young men, providing a blend of nurturing wisdom and guidance that is essential to the growth of a man. So, like I mentioned in my previous episode, to be a mother is not just someone who has given birth to a son or to a daughter, but to be a mother is someone who nurtures and cares. And the nurturing from mothers and aunties significantly impacts the mental health of African males. They teach young men to understand and express their emotions, communicate effectively, and build resilience, which sets the stage for healthy emotional development and coping mechanisms. But this influence, however, comes with its challenges, you know? Mothers and African aunties navigate complex, you know, cultural expectations and often try to balance the need, or often find it difficult to balance the need to foster emotional openness and the pressures of the traditional masculinity in this culture. So, like I promised you, I'll always come to you with some stories, and we've heard stories of individuals whose lives have been positively impacted by the matrix in their lives or in their families. You know, shout out Burna Boy. You can see Burna Boy. And if you don't know Burna Boy, Burna Boy is an Afrobeat artist from Nigeria, and Burna Boy is literally at almost every other concert, if not every concert, with his mom. And you can tell how positively impacted he has been by his mom. We even have her on one of his tracks, you know. But these narratives highlight the profound influence that these women have on the mental wellness of their sons and nephews, often serving as their primary source of emotional support and guidance. So, to go into story time, I know for sure that some people who have been raised by single mothers. And single mothers, this really should speak a lot to you. Single mothers, you have the unfortunate or fortunate role to play both a father and a mother. Hence, they need to be physically, mentally strong and hard on your boys, but also give that empathy or give that soft side. Now, to speak for mothers and females, it's not easy. Some people are not even single mothers, they are married. But because of the African context or the societal or society's norms in Africa, so many fathers are not present in their homes. And when I say not present, I don't mean they are absentee fathers. No, they're not present emotionally. They're not present supportively. And so it's the father thinks his role is just provide financially, and that is it. He's done. The rest is up to the mom. So it's up to the mom to now punish the children. It's up to the mom to now nurture the children. It's up to the mom to now teach the child everything that they need to be taught. Hence, some mothers have to be hard. Now, that affects the mental health of these mothers, and that trickles down to affect the mental health of their children. So It goes to say that men, when you're fathers or when you're a husband, not supporting your wives and the upbringing of your children, and you just think finances is the only way to show that you love your family, affects the mental health of your wife, which has a ripple effect which affects your children, and thereby continuing the cycle of damaged mental health and brokenness. I also want to continue to say that mothers who also allow this situation, not, I don't say allow, but who are trapped in this situation, where they just serve their husbands or are quote unquote the negative definition of submissive wives and just do everything for their kids and then just leave their husbands to do whatever they're doing, affect the mental health of your sons, because now sons start to think, hey, as a man, this is what should be, like, this is what should happen. And that just doesn't go just to mothers, it also goes to the fathers, the roles that you play. But that'll be a whole other episode. But with sons realizing that this is how their mother is being treated, they now start to either A, become overprotective over females or their mothers, and now become, you know, angry and just resort to violence because they feel like they have to assert some form of dominance with violence. And on the other side, you also affect your daughters, because now daughters are saying either I don't want to be like my mom, or they do the same things that their mothers did and also affect the mental health of their children. So either way, it's a lose-lose situation. There's never a win when mothers are left to raise their kids by themselves. I've always had a saying that said it always takes a village, so you need the help. But talking about village, that comes to the challenges and cultural nuances of African mothers. African mothers tend to rely, and maybe this might just be me, but most African mothers tend to rely on the village of religion to help raise their children, and the village of, you know, religion and circle of neighbors and stuff. Hence, they do not listen to their children when they're speaking. Mothers, you gave birth to us. You gave birth to your children. And so when you do not listen to our voices, you don't pay attention to our nonverbal cues, you are basically dismissing us and dismissing our feelings and making us even hate the society that you hope to integrate us in. I would give a classic example. I know of a friend who has a mom who was very religious when he was younger. Now, his mom used to say, Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus this, church this, hey, sofo say, and that means like, pastor said this, pastor said that. Now, they have the African aunties and uncles, or African aunties actually, in the church saying, hey, I saw your child over here, I saw your child doing this, hey, your child shouldn't do this. And that influenced his mom, and every time his mom comes home, hey, look at this person, and now the comparison begins. And because of that, this friend of mine basically decided to hate the church. He was like, I'm not going to go to church anymore, because what, the church has now been filled with, not the church per se, the church and the society that he was in has now been filled with, you know, like, influences on his mom, who is not listening to him but taking the advice of outsiders who don't know what's going on with him. Hence, he backed away from the church. What it took was another, but then the flip side of it is, what it took was another mother who came into the picture, and just for identity purposes, I'll say Aduma, and she came in and started to listen to this guy. She listened to his pain. She hugged him. Regardless of what people were saying outside about this guy, she said, no, I love him either way, and I'm going to listen to him. She introduced him to other male figures, and, you know, he was able to now be integrated into the church. And regardless of what other people say in the church, he still, like, loves and serves God. It's not just Christians. It cuts across to, you know, every form of religion. And I'm not saying religion is a problem. No. it's not listening to your children or your sons or your daughters, because when you decide to take the advice of the outside world into your internal relationship, it affects it and it damages it in so many ways. Because understand this, maybe what those people are saying might be right. Maybe what those people are saying might be right, but it's only right in their context. It is not a rule that applies generally and may not be the same thing as applying to your child. Again, this challenge of, you know, listening to the external world and bringing it into your internal relationship with your sons and daughters affect them and break them. Another challenge besides single motherhood and also besides fathers leaving every responsibility of the child or parenting to the mother, and also the external world coming in and saying whatever they want to say, another big challenge is mothers thinking that they know, or African aunties and uncles and mothers thinking that they know better than the child. I know that our elders, you say that you have experience. You guys, I will always ask us and say, basically meaning, when did you come into the picture? Aunties, babysitters, neighbors, even cousins, even siblings sometimes, you know? And they have been sexually abused. They've been physically abused. And this, all these abuses just blend in to be a form of mental abuse. And you don't realize when your child is starting to withdraw. You don't realize when your child is, you know, saying to you that this is what they are going through. You don't realize when your child doesn't want to hang out with a particular group of your friends or your families. You just stay ignorant to it. And the problem in the African context is when a child is given the nonverbal cues that they are struggling mentally, and then they start to show the signs and symptoms, for lack of a better word, by disassociating themselves from the general public. They begin to do isolation. They are always in their room. They don't want to engage. When they're around people, they're able to just, you know, put on a fake smile. But when they go home, they are just very much reserved. By not paying attention to these nonverbal cues, you are continually allowing your child to silently suffer. But to be frank, it's not too late to repair that relationship. And so I would say that us recognizing and supporting the role of mothers and aunties in mental health is crucial. Like, whilst we reflect on everything I've said so far, let's consider how we can also contribute to a supportive environment that acknowledges and amplifies their impact. So I'll say this. First thing that I'll say, fathers, understand that you are also a parent. You brought these kids into the world. Your role as a father is not to let your child be afraid of you. And you negatively impacting the mental health of your wife also impacts the mental health of your children. So even though I don't necessarily buy into that ideology, like I said in my previous episode, happy wife, happy life, just know that supportive husband gets supportive wife, which builds the support system mentally for children and your sons. So as I say, as I always end, I'm going to end with specific tips to basically help mothers and aunties to support the mental health of their sons. Number one, I'll always make this my number one, an open dialogue. Kids, sons, daughters, if you're listening to this, understand that if you do not speak up and you don't let them tell you that way, dear, or basically they say you don't respect, if you don't speak up, you wouldn't be saved or you wouldn't be okay. So let them say what they want to say. Let those African aunties and uncles say what they want to say. It is better to be regarded as disrespectful than just suffer in silence and have that consequence affect you negatively. Like I've always said, closed mouths do not get fed. Second tip between this open dialogue, besides open dialogue, I'll say second thing is emotional literacy. Mothers, help your sons develop a vocabulary for his emotions. Teaching him to name and understand his feelings can empower him to manage them more effectively. And because if we don't know what we are even feeling, we wouldn't be able to say anything. And that's what leads to the isolation, quietness. And the only anger we are taught by society is, the only emotion we are taught by society, I mean, is anger. So we just bottle pain, suffering, depression, all into anger and frustration. So help your son develop a vocabulary for his emotions. Another thing I would say is respect his individuality. Acknowledge and respect his unique personality, interests, and path in life, and support his journey to self-discovery and independence. I would like to say on this episode that I give a big shout out to my mother, who has been a rock and a pillar in my life. I salute you. She has been my rock and my pillar. She has supported me and respected my unique personality. And I would say this, never once in my life have I heard my mom say to me, this is not who a man is, this is not what a man is. I have cried in my mother's arms and she's never made me feel like this is, a man is not supposed to cry. She's made it okay. And she supported me in my podcast journey, in my consulting journey, in my career, everything I've decided to do, she's been behind me 100%. And by respecting your son's individuality, he can also get to a point like I have to decide to help other men or help other people and friends, you know, boost their mental health and get to a better place in their life. And last but not the least, if you notice the signs, and maybe I should do a whole different episode on this, but if you notice the signs where your son or your children are going through mental struggles, seek professional help. Be proactive in seeking professional help if you notice these signs. Early intervention can make a significant difference in their mental health journey. So by implementing these tips, you'll be able to boost the power and boost the mental health of your son and foster a good and healthy relationship with each other. So, like I say, happy Women's Month. Let's be the pillars of strength that they can lean on. And thank you for tuning in into To Be Frank every Thursday at 6 p.m. I really appreciate it. Follow us on Instagram at To Be Frank Podcast and let me know your thoughts, feelings, and if you have even personal stories that you feel could help people, share with me and we'll put it out there. Remember, the conversation about mental health is ongoing, and to be frank, it's one we should all be a part of. Take care and see you next episode.